The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. As you're aware, a few weeks ago, we had our show live from Boston, from Next Bank USA, which was very well received. We had some fantastic guests on the show. Continuing the theme of Next Bank, we've invited the Next Bank Asia team, well, actually it's the global team for Next Bank, to join us today to talk about some of the initiatives they're doing. Now, why this is important is that we're looking constantly for these platforms where we can see these innovative cycles starting place, where we see these disruptors playing, where they're talking about some of the stuff we're doing. And Next Bank, InnerTribe, the Bank Innovators Council, who we've had on recently as well, these are all organizations trying to support these disruptive changes and sponsoring organizations, giving them a platform to talk about how they're going about breaking banks and disrupting the financial services industry. So this is a dialogue, obviously, we continue to have, and it's a great opportunity for us, or it's a great privilege for us, to have on the show this week Rob Finlay from Next Bank. Rob, welcome.
Thanks, Brett. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Summer is in full fly here in New York, so it's always a wonderful town to be in. You're calling us from Singapore today, right?
I am. Yes, it's not quite the same moment of the day for you as you, but from Asia. So,
it's very early in the morning. So, thank you for taking the time. So, tell us about some of the. We had you on the show about a year ago, I guess, Rob, but might be actually less than that. But we had you on. We had Matt Dooley on at the same time, and if I recall, also Emmanuel Daniel from Asian Banker. Sort of, it was our Asia themed show. But since then, Next Bank has become sort of a really global phenomenon. Tell us about what's happening with Next Bank.
Well, what's happening at the moment is really we're advancing from being a company or a group of people, really, a group of bankers that are running events, into really running an interesting community of people. And now we're getting into other parts of the industry that are really changing rapidly. I think what we're finding is that there's a really great appetite for the Next Bank attitude and the Next Bank mindset to spread further through the industry. And I think increasingly more into the mainstream of what the banks are really looking at. So we're excited to see our events taking place of varying formats, small and large, on every continent, essentially across the globe. And also now we're getting more involved in the way that the industry itself is developing through our involvement with banks and with startups and governments and infrastructure players as well. So really our tentacles are reaching far and wide, but hopefully in a very positive way.
What was your broad objective when you started Next Bank, and has that changed since it started to take on a life of its own?
Well, yes and no. I mean, certainly the idea when I started Next Bank was to really create a massive shift, a big dent in the industry, to paraphrase someone else. It was because I was someone who was working in the industry. It wasn't a business that I was dedicated to at the time. And so the ethos all along has been to create a positive shift, and really to create a creative edge to the industry that wasn't there before. And again, I still think that's a point of difference. I think some of the things that you saw at Next Bank USA a couple of weeks ago really showed that design and creativity plays an important role in transforming the industry in a positive way. So that's still my absolute central goal, is to bring that edge of creativity and innovation to an industry that needs it and is increasingly understanding the need for that.
Great. So tell us about some of the developments recently in terms of who you're partnering with and what that means for the organization.
Sure. So increasingly we're partnering with pretty well-known brands on a multi-event level, just to take it to that level, and then increasingly on a global level.
How many events are you planning on running this year?
Oh, I think there's around half a dozen, seven to eight this year. And they're as far as Mexico City down to Sydney, Australia, and everything between. And really we're looking at a proper global spread here to create the communities that we want to lead this sort of thought leadership. But some of the exciting things we're doing is we're starting to work with banks themselves because they're the ones that are really interested in the way we're thinking and the people we access and the communities that we're working with. And one of the really great things we've done is a big deal with BBVA Bank, obviously recent acquirers of Simple, really helping them understand and see all the different business models and innovations in a couple of regions that our next bank partners, Fermin and Andres, are leading. So it'd be good to hear from them a bit more about what's planned.
All right, well, let's invite Fermin in first. Because he's obviously heavily involved in some of this stuff. Fermin, welcome to Breaking Banks.
Hello, Brett. How are you doing?
And where are you calling in from today?
I'm calling in from Madrid, Spain.
Madrid, Spain. So we might be disrupted by some World Cup noises in the background.
Yeah, I think not much is going on at the moment. if we run over time, then maybe yes, for sure.
The Latin American world, you know, World Cup, it takes on a whole new flavor. I saw this video on YouTube of when in Sao Paulo, how the whole city erupts when a goal takes place. It just stops people from working and all sorts of things. Anyway, thank you for joining us from Madrid.
Thank you, Brett. Yeah,
tell us about your work with BBVA as a part of the Next Bank theme and what that means for you, that association with BBVA.
Well, yes, we have partnered with BBVA. We have teamed up with them to help take the BBVA Open Talent Competition global, to make it more international, to really reach into the deeper entrepreneurial communities around the world, right? Next Bank is helping BBVA do that, right? Not just fintech community, but also other startups community, since the competition also includes fintech affin, so not purely fintech startups.
And how important do you think it is for mainstream players like BBVA and others to get involved in these types of communities?
Well, it is extremely important, right? Because really the future of this industry is together with startups, right? There is a lot of activity, a lot of innovation going on, right? So innovation is not just, the pure domain of banks and financial institutions, but innovation has been democratized and now this is going on all around the world. Therefore, the interest of BBVA, right, to run a global competition that, crosses borders, frontiers, to reach, more than 50 countries, right, which we're reaching, right, with the competition, right.
And do you think that organizations like Next Bank become not only a source of ideas, but also is this are we starting to draw on organizations like Next Bank to find talent as well, do you think?
Yeah, well, Next Bank, it's a platform for innovation, really. We are about, bringing innovation from the corporates, but also from the startup world into our platform, right? So yes, our events is a natural meeting point of all the innovation talent that are going on in the industry, and now not just banks but also outside banks, right? And there is an amazing, you know, entrepreneurial fintech talent coming to our events, right? And this is something we try truly to encourage, you know, by having this mix of, you know, entrepreneurs and corporates coming to our events.
Rob, you know, in terms of your view, you know, from an overarching perspective, mm-hmm. do you think that part of the goal of NextBank should be to create this global pool of talent that innovative organizations can have access to?
Absolutely. I think one thing we want to be is a very accessible and open community of people in which anyone can participate and interact. And we certainly think that, you know, we don't see any sort of any way to hold back our ambitions in that regard, because all we can do is create positive effect and attract these startups and banks and innovators and technology and creative experts to come together. And that can only really create positive outcomes, because it gives exposure and clarity to the kind of ideas that need to come forward in the industry. And I think NextBank can be anywhere and everywhere in its own local contextual format and still foster that great innovation. So we want NextBank to be the independent, scalable, community-driven organization where innovation can come forward.
So given you know, the BBVA deal is fairly recent, you guys have just done that in the last couple of months, right?
Yep.
Correct.
So it's a little bit early to say in terms of what specific value, you know, apart from access maybe, that BBVA has got out of the NextBank association as yet. This is really going to be sort of about future collaboration. But what are some of the more interesting collaborations that you've seen come from NextBank so far? Maybe, Rob, your best place to answer that.
Sure, okay. So what we've seen so far has been really interesting conversations with government who are keen to find a partner that isn't attached to a media business or a bank that is a central part of the community. We're also finding that some of the interesting conversations are around involvement with other independent groups like Bank Innovators Council, who you mentioned earlier. And that's something I think that you quite often would avoid, but really what we're finding is the strength in our smaller, more independent players can often be a challenge to the large, you know, the large incumbents that we're trying to work against. And I think also what we're finding is the collaborations now with the startup community are really kind of becoming quite natural. They're becoming quite sort of normal and quite accepted. You know, before you probably find there might be some conflict, but now we're finding there's some great synergies and some sort of real brotherhood or some sibling type relationships where we're looking out for each other. So that's been really interesting to see that where we thought there might be competition, in actual fact, there's actually some opportunity.
Yeah, and when you talk about the government, is that specifically some of the work you've done with the Singapore government, the IDE, and so forth?
Yeah, exactly. And also in other parts of Asia, and increasingly in Europe as a whole, I think guys are going to make some impressions there. And even in South America too. So certainly in these emerging markets, what you're going to find, Brett, is, and obviously Andreas and Fermin can talk about it, but you're going to find the governments are very, very keen for brands like NextBank to come in and help them identify the talent and the attractive elements of the industry and bring them right up to the surface so that everyone can see that their own individual country or market or region is worth investing and spending time in.
Great. So, Andres, welcome to the show. Rob just mentioned you. You're joining us as well.
Hi, Brett. How are you doing?
Good. Where are you calling in from?
I'm in New York today, en route to Bogota, Colombia.
Bogota, Colombia. So, there's a lot of LATAM support on the show today. And when did you first get involved in NextBank?
Yeah, so we started collaborating with Rob exactly a year ago. We put on our first NextBank event in Spain, in Madrid. It was something very local that was supported by BBVA, by Accenture, by some other brands. And that was really our first experience, right, in what over the past year has become, has really strengthened, right, and deepened our relationship with Rob. We put on two events last year, one, like I said, one in Madrid, and then one in Bogota. We actually got to meet each other in person earlier this year, and going forward as true business partners, and really trying to make a dent in the industry in all corners of the world.
And what's your day job? Are you full-time involved in Next Bank? Or?
So for me and I, we're a company that was born in Spain about 2.5 years ago. And our focus really is to drive industry collaboration between the old and the new startups and financial service players, traditional financial service players. We initially focused just on Spain and Latin America, recognizing that there was a gap there, opportunity for us to take advantage of. But again, as we've strengthened our relationship with Next Bank, right, we are taking our plans global.
Great, great, fantastic. Rob, what about yourself? You're full time now on Next Bank, or?
I'm not quite, Brett. The children have to go to school and they have to eat food. So in true bootstrap style, it's still a business that I'm spending a lot of time on outside a role inside the bank industry. But very happy to play double fiddle at this point because it really keeps the perspective on what the banks need.
I'd really like to explore that interface and how your bank sees this. Maybe we can do that after the break.
No problem.
All right, listen, guys, you're with Breaking Banks. We're talking to the team at Next Bank about some of their expansion that's happening this year. We're talking about some of the events that are going to take place in Latin America and other places of the world, and some of the support that they've had through sponsors like BBVA. You're listening to Breaking Banks. We're going to take a quick break, and after the break, we'll be back with more talk about fueling the disruption of the next banks to emerge in the world. We'll be right back after this break.
Your bank's customers expect comprehensive, convenient, and consistent service when and where they need it. A mobile app is a great start, but with so many devices and operating systems out there, it can be hard to keep up with demand. That's why today's leading banks count on the Kony Multichannel Experience Cloud. With Kony, you can design, develop, and manage multi-channel apps from one integrated platform. Build an app once, and with one click, you can deploy it securely across all digital channels, phones, tablets, desktop, and more. That means more efficient for you and a better experience for your customers. Want to get to market fast? Explore Kony's range of ready-to-run apps, including retail, commercial, and private banking. With features like person-to-person transfers, targeted campaigns, built-in integrations, and cutting-edge compliance, Kony apps provide the framework and flexibility you need to rise above the competition. Go beyond first-generation mobile banking. Visit kony.com/BK to launch your multi-channel strategy. That's KONY.com/BK.
Attend Payments 2014 to meet the forward-thinking leaders and disruptors who are transforming how we pay and get paid. Get a glimpse into the next wave of payments innovations and challenges through fast-paced interactive demonstrations, educational sessions, and a buzzing exhibit hall. Register now at payments.nacha.org. Payments 2014 is presented by NACHA, the Electronic Payments Association, the recognized leader in payment system education, the Payments Conference. Transform imagination into strategic innovation. Register today at payments.nacha.org.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. Before the break, we were talking to Andres Furman and Rob Finlay about the expansion of the Next Bank universe. And Rob, who founded Next Bank. Rob, when did you put Next Bank first on the map?
The first event, Brett, was in Asia in mid-2012. So it's not actually been that long, to be honest. But it seems like a lot of things have happened. We've done, I think, 9 to 10 events in the last 2 years, and again, another half a dozen or more planned for the rest of this year.
So your Asian event has sort of become your staple, your core. And you know, what's the attendance like at the last event? Because that was just a couple of months ago, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, look, we like, I think what we always aim for is a couple hundred, 200, 300 people deliberately, so that we can have a crowd of very engaged people who connect very, very intimately together. We are trying to avoid very consciously to become one of those events where there's 1,000 people, 4,000 people. We just don't think there's a lot of value when you get to that scale for the attendee experience. So we're trying to keep it at a extremely engaged level and have multiple events rather than just one big massive one.
And what's your event schedule like for the remainder of the year?
We have quite a lot going
you've
on.
Just had, you've just had the Boston event just a few weeks ago.
We had Boston last week. We're going to have one in Shanghai in China. It's obviously an extremely exciting market for us here in this part of the world in August. There's talk of one in Mumbai at some point this year. Again, the India market's pretty exciting. There'll be one in Bogota in Colombia in September. There'll be one in probably Sydney later in the year in November to follow up last year, and possibly Melbourne as well. Possibly one in Sao Paulo in December, but the big one for us is probably going to be Next Bank Europe in Barcelona and Next Bank Americas in Mexico City in October as well. So September, October, very busy times for us typically and in conferences in general. And certainly the Next Bank Europe is our really big next push to really hit Next Bank in the European continent in a really positive way.
So, Furman, is that under your purview, the Next Bank Europe event?
Yes, sure. It's going to happen in Barcelona, Next Bank Europe, 18th and 19th of September.
Fantastic. So, you know, you've obviously been involved with the event now for some time, but in respect to what's going to make the European event different from, say, the event that we just had in Boston or the Asian, flavors of the event, what do you think is going to be unique about Next Bank Europe, Next Bank Barcelona?
I think we are going to give it much more an entrepreneurial touch. I think, you know, I think the event in Boston has been a lot about innovation, right, and creativity within financial services. We're going to bring the entrepreneurial component into the mix, right? So we're going to make sure that corporates and entrepreneurs, you know, mix together. So we will have content and audience, right, which will cover both, right, both worlds.
Okay. One of the interesting quotes that we've heard from Next Bank, or sort of the positioning, is that it's not just about creating these great platforms for innovation, but it's also about the networking element and the competencies of sort of where design and creativity and these sorts of things. From an entrepreneur's perspective, how does an entrepreneur who's got a startup benefit from Next Bank?
Well, banking and financial service industries is pretty much verticalized. But really, entrepreneurs need to reach out to really the big players in this, in this industry, right? Next Bank is a natural place where you can, as an entrepreneur, get to meet innovators from within the industry, right? Which are many of them, I would say, more and more today, more in the future, looking outside their own industry, right? Many of them are looking to collaborate with startups. So really, Next Bank, it's becoming this meeting point for entrepreneurs and corporates. We are very much content driven. We are, uncompromisingly, driven by the content, right? Very open event. And networking is a key element to everything we do, right?
Okay, that's good. That's great. So Andres, when you started to get involved in Next Bank, and particularly with sort of the Latin American flavor, do you think that this intersection of the entrepreneur with the mainstream, corporate banks like the BBVA's works in smaller markets? Or, is this more about collaborating between like players that just want to get innovation happening?
Yeah, I think initially we did see some reluctance, right? Disbelief, right? Whether banks would be willing to open their doors and start collaborating with entrepreneurs on the ground in markets like Bogota, Mexico City, Buenos Aires, or Madrid. I think time has proven that that they are willing to do so, right? And at the same time, the banks not only have they opened their doors, right, but the the entrepreneurs themselves, right, have been willing to share their ideas, to share their talent, to share their technologies with the banks, right, recognizing that it's in the best, right, of the greater good of the industry, the people that are committed, right, with the future of financial services, of working together to really disrupt and transform the industry. It's in the interest of both of them.
Absolutely.
So to that point, I did want to add. You know, we talked about NextBank being a talent pool, right, for banks. Our experience has also shown that it's the reverse, right? And that's startups, right? Because of what Fermin mentioned, right? This being a very verticalized industry, entrepreneurs who want to be successful in fintech, right, do need an insider's look at the industry, and many of them don't have it, particularly in some of the markets that we're more familiar with, right? And they've seen NextBank as an opportunity to tap potential investors, to potential mentors, potential employees, right, and bring them out of their comfort zone in large financial institutions and bring them into garage-based startups, right? And that seems to be working as well.
I think that's an important point or important distinction, because one of the challenges we've seen, particularly with the West Coast approach to, you know, sort of the B2C market and disruption, is there's been an overall expectation, you know, from guys like Mark Andreessen and others, that you're going to have this Facebook of banking come out of the West Coast and be hugely disruptive. But the reality is that when you're interfacing with the banking system, you do need to understand, you know, the pipes, the wires, the regulations, you know, how charters work, how, you know, the payment organizations work. It's unlikely you're going to have two kids in a garage start up the next Facebook of banking if they don't have at least the ability to tap into that that experience pool of interfacing with the existing system, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's you know, exactly aligned with our vision. It's what we try to bring to the local, regional, and global fintech startup communities through NextBank, right, and through the different activities that we put together, right? Whether they be small events in particular cities, regional events like NextBank Europe, startup competitions, right, where we tap the entire globe, right? And it's really all about putting these communities, members of these communities, in touch with each other, right, and having them collaborate. Share a cup of coffee in Singapore, right, at NextBank Asia, or spend some mentoring time together in New York, right, whenever they coincide. That's really, you know, that's a fundamental part of our vision, right? And it's bringing together the old and the new of the industry, right? And have them work together, understand each other, right? And together create, design, implement the future products and services of financial services.
That's probably one of the things that makes this collaboration so unique. Rob, in respect to your personal involvement, how does this work in terms of your day job working as a you know, innovator from within a large bank?
It's both a burden and a curse, also a blessing, Brett.
Burden and a curse are both negative, so I'm glad you're right. Blessing in there.
That's because I'm tired and emotional, but it's really good and bad thing, because it's really great on one hand, because straight away, for the bank that I work for, I've automatically got on my right hand all the content and the people I could ever hope to try and talk to about what's going on in the world, including hopefully Brett yourself, and that's been a really great thing to have as at my disposal, is an immediate answer to the kind of questions the bank is trying to ask. On the other hand, it's a juggle, because you know the bank sees this as a great asset, but at the same time a distraction, and certainly I'm trying to juggle these things. But really, I can't complain. It's a great mix of the BAU of a bank and how it's trying to manage its own destiny, but at the same time, you know, with Andres and Fermin, imagining what the future can behold on a global level is pretty cool. So I'm very, very lucky to deal in both worlds at this point.
Now you just recently started your new role. Can you talk about your new role?
Sure. I joined one of Singapore's largest banks in a customer experience, innovation culture role. So that means I'm here to help different business units become more customer focused, and also to help the bank understand the innovation landscape around it a bit more clearly. So, and also dabbling a bit of UX design as well. So even down to, would you believe, designing forms, Brett. Paper forms. Oh, so goodness.
I've got a blog post on that, that you should read.
Well, they'll make me redundant. But it's going well. The bank's really, really embracing it's embracing lean agile process, lean startup process. It's embracing human-centered design. It's embracing innovation. We've got a really insightful CEO who leads from the front and very lucky to work with great people who all get it. So I'm lucky to be on the bandwagon of one of the banks that's on a good trajectory.
Now, when you were talking to them about the role, how was the next bank conversation handled? Did they know about that before they interviewed you for the role, or did you have to introduce your involvement in that?
No, they knew about it, and I think they saw it as an asset. It was an obvious kind of connection and plug in into the things that are happening in the world. But the opposite, the two speed conversation was, that's really great what you're doing there, but you need to sign this form to say there's no conflict of interest and there's an outside activity and please don't let it distract you. So I need to juggle these things on a very, very fine line. And
which is why you're up at 2 a.m. in the morning talking to a podcast radio show in New York.
Maybe. Is it pirate radio? Hopefully it's pirate radio. It's not an official media outlet.
So, podcast radio.
Right, I don't need Corp.coms to approve this. I probably will. But it's a juggle, and at the same time, couldn't have hoped for a better situation. So very happy.
Absolutely fantastic, Furman. What about yourself? Are you working now full time on the next bank stuff, or you have a day job as well?
No, I'm working just as Andreas. I'm working full time on this. We are putting together the events, data competitions, workshops, and everything is around the digital transformation of the financial service industry. This is our full-time job.
And what's your background prior to getting involved in the Nextbank stuff?
I have a background in mobile telecommunications. I was working for Ericsson quite many years. I was also doing management consulting for many telcos around Europe and the world. Then I was working in venture capital. I joined a fund here in Spain, 185 million venture capital fund. Launched it. I was working there for almost 3 years. And then I started this, right? I quit it to start this.
That's actually a really interesting background, particularly the fund side of things. I mean, with so much innovation taking place around the world, how important do you think it is for the likes of VCs and innovation pools and investment pools for mainstream players like BBVA to have access to Nextbank or platforms similar to that to be able to seek out new investments?
Do you mean how important it is Nextbank for banks to seek investments?
For banks or VCs looking to invest in startups?
We are becoming a natural meeting point, right, for fintech within the industry and outside the industry, right? So yes, between our audience, there is, I would say, 15% investors and more than 30% startups. So yes, it's a natural, pool to find, great disruptive startups within the fintech arena. Absolutely.
Yeah, we had Nextbank Boston. We were fortunate to have Matt Harris, who's one of the he's been one of the leading voices in fintech disruption and investment in New York. He started with Village Ventures. He's now at Bain. It was certainly having that interaction. Was very valuable. Rob, do you think this will spur on a new, in places like Latin America and Asia, not necessarily known for VC investment in the fintech spaces yet, do you think this might help us accelerate some of that?
I think so. I think what it's going to do is it's going to give some high-profile exposure to those banks that are brave enough to put a CVC together or to put some money together and go and spend it in the market. But I think what's going to happen is you're going to find in Asia, for example, I could probably think of you know, you go to each country, you can probably find 5 to 10 banks that all need to go through some sort of digital transformation that, Brett, you know, I know you're passionate about. These banks don't know how to do it themselves.
Right.
And they'll either need to find a partner who can steer them through the course. They'll need to either find a different organization that can help them you know, choose the right partner for them, or they'll need to buy something off the shelf that can get them there fast. So we think that NextBank can help those banks in different markets navigate those things the right way with the right people.
We talk a lot about – in banking, we've talked a lot about this fast follower concept before, but I think really, you know, that's interesting where we've seen BBVA take a bit of a lead. It really shook up the industry a bit with their acquisition of Simple. And then when you look at you know, the likes of Visa and MasterCard investing in Square and others, you really do see that this approach of – you know, growth or competency, you know, acqui-hire strategy, you know, in terms of acquiring some of these companies becoming key. So it's great to see NextBank right in the midst of that.
But Brett, will it work? Can a bank buy a solution that will change its company forever, or is it seen to be something that's, you know, he's asking the question, can you buy this kind of cultural change as much as the capability investment?
Let's discuss that after the break. We'll just have a quick break. You were listening to Breaking Banks, where we're speaking to Furman Andres and Rob Finlay from the NextBank organization, dotted all around the world today. We'll be right back after this short break.
Your bank's customers expect comprehensive, convenient, and consistent service when and where they need it. A mobile app is a great start, but with so many devices and operating systems out there, it can be hard to keep up with demand. That's why today's leading banks count on the Kony Multichannel Experience Cloud. With Kony, you can design, develop, and manage multi-channel apps from one integrated platform. Build an app once, and with one click, you can deploy it securely across all digital channels, phones, tablets, desktop, and more. That means more efficient for you and a better experience for your customers. Want to get to market fast? Explore Kony's range of ready-to-run apps, including retail, commercial, and private banking. With features like person-to-person transfers, targeted campaigns, built-in integrations, and cutting-edge compliance, Kony apps provide the framework and flexibility you need to rise above the competition. Go beyond first-generation mobile banking. Visit kony.com/BK to launch your multi-channel strategy. That's kony.com/BK.
Attend Payments 2014 to meet the forward-thinking leaders and disruptors who are transforming how we pay and get paid. Get a glimpse into the next wave of payments innovations and challenges through fast-paced interactive demonstrations, educational sessions, and a buzzing exhibit hall. Register now at payments.nacha.org. Payments 2014 is presented by NACHA, the Electronic Payments Association, the recognized leader in payment system education. The Payments Conference, transform imagination into strategic innovation. Register today at payments.nacha.org.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. I'm your host, Brett King. So we've been talking with the NextBank team about how the NextBank organization is fueling disruption and the innovation conversation around the world, supported by VCs, creatives, entrepreneurs, disruptors, innovators, and traditionalists who are trying to convert. But guys, maybe sort of to play on the power alley of the show, Breaking Banks. What we normally do at this part of the show is we like to sort of look out 5 to 10 years in the markets you guys are in and sort of think about how this disruption that we see taking place now, how that's going to play out. So maybe, Andres, let's start with you. In you know, where you're based out in Latin America and you cross over into Americas generally. But you know, what do you see as some of the things that we see happening now that in 5 to 10 years are going to really be defining elements of the way banking has changed and the way banking's been disrupted?
Yeah, Brett, like you said, I spend a lot of time on the ground in Latin America, right? And what I see, right, technology, entrepreneurship, innovation, creativity impacting financial services is really in financial inclusion, right? I see 5-10 years down the road from now, right, where those financial inclusion percentages, right, where today they're hovering between 25% and 40%, depending on what country you look at, right, can really come close to 100%, right, similar to those figures that we're accustomed to, maybe in Western Europe or the United States. Already starting to see it, right? My last trip to Mexico, I was able to go cashless, right, with applications like Uber, which, you know, for moving around the city, applications like iZettle or SumUp, right, for paying at little taco stands on any street corner. We're starting to see, right, that you can move cashless, right? And so we'll start to see banks and other alternative players, right, start to leverage technology, both their access to technology, but also the general population's use of mobile phones, social media, et cetera, right? And I think we're really hoping that we'll really be able to see countries, nations, markets, right, that are fully banked.
Great. Yeah, financial inclusion is a fantastic goal. And we had Rob Owens, who, Rob, you would remember Rob mm-hmm. Owens. He was on the show a few weeks ago. We had Zoelli from Standard Bank, a really fantastic show. And of course, we also had our friend from the ex-Inner Tribe, with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, on the show a few weeks ago as well. But maybe Furman, coming back to you and sort of the European play, in terms of the sort of disruptive innovations that we've seen, you know, we talk about Silicon Valley, you know, as sort of this center of incredible innovation. And then what the fintech audience has tried to do is we now talk about Silicon Alley in New York, and sometimes we talk about Silicon Wadi in Israel as being these new centers of innovation. Who do you think is going to lead the innovation charge in Europe generally? Is it going to be centered geographically in terms of the fintech space?
Well, that's a good question. Well, London is definitely taking the lead today, right? But what we've seen is that what has happened.
So we're going to call that the Silicon Castle, I think, is the accepted vernacular for London, right?
The Silicon Castle.
I don't know.
Okay, that's a good name. That's a good name. Yes, so I think the biggest trend here is that the financial services is going to become more and more like a technology market, right? So I think platformization will enter at some point, right? And platformization of this industry would mean that we will go from, you know, verticalized industry to very specialized and horizontalized industry. Now, this will mean that, you know, innovations will start to come from all over the place, right? Right now, it's very center where the financial service experience, skills, and, you know, capabilities are. But this will become much more spread all around Europe and all around the world. So yes, you know, for example, in Israel or you know, from things happening in Barcelona or happening in Berlin, you know, this will become much more the rule than the exception in the future, I think.
Yeah, there is some interesting centers of innovation. You've got Sweden and Norway who've done some pretty interesting things. You know, Mcash, iZettle, there's definitely some things happening there. But then likewise in Ireland and London and in Barcelona and Madrid, in Munich, you've got Fedor in Munich. So it's sort of spotted. It doesn't seem to be centered largely. Rob, what about in Asia? Do you think that over the next 5 to 10 years we're going to develop these hubs of innovation in Asia that are going to sort of lead the way from a regional perspective?
I think so, Brett. I mean, I think the really interesting thing about Asia, it's a complex, multilateral, multi-layered thing. So you're going to find China will become an intense center for innovation in this space. I mean,
you could argue it already is. You know,
it already is.
You look at Alipay. I mean, Alipay does 3 times the mobile payments traffic that PayPal does globally, and they just did that out of China. So you'd have to argue that they're at least getting some of that right.
Exactly. But I think what's missing though, Brett, in that market is you've got a few dominant players there that are mostly government-backed and mostly government-endorsed. But what you don't have is the 1,000 startups doing 1,000 different things with 1,000 different funding sources. And so they don't yet have that independence from my perspective. But you'll also find that, you know, there's different levels of banking needs here. Some are extremely high-level, high-money private banking. Some is this emerging wealth management category that, you know, the middle class is fueling. And the other is, as Andres mentioned, is the financial inclusion angle. You know, a vast majority of Indonesians don't have a bank account at this point, and yet you look at what their potential is and how fast they're growing. So the opportunities here are right through the vertical itself. And the fintech startups, we think, are really going to be at the front edge of that. So we want to be right through the whole lot, and we think that Asia is a great place to be doing a next bank.
So maybe let's focus on that a little bit. You know, Indonesia, we talk about the mint countries now: Mexico, Indonesia, Nigeria, Turkey. But you know, if we look at financial inclusion as a goal and the intersection of mobile, you know, is a very, very interesting space because we could have, by the end of the decade, we could bank 1.5 billion new people into the banking system with mobile money forms and mobile apps. You know, how's that going to change the way we think of banks? Maybe, you know, Rob, you know, you might have a shot at this, Andres as well, yourself, you know, who leads this play in terms of being innovators in the inclusion and mobile inclusion space?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Asia is that I don't think that there's been one single format or platform that's won out. I mean, Indonesia is a great place to go and launch a mobile money platform because distributed population across tough geographic locations with extremely good mobile penetration, and yet not one mobile company has really cracked the mobile money market. So there's a consumer readiness thing there that needs to be explored. It's probably more of a cultural link as well. So I don't know, Andres, what you think about the same thing in your region, if the mobile will change the bank industry. At this point, it's probably still people playing with the model, but no one's really busted it open yet.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the mobile as a technology will. I think, you know, mobile network operators plus you know, big payments companies plus banks themselves are still trying to figure out the model, right? You know, unfortunately, it's going to take them a very long time, right, to align their interest, right, and find a business model that works for all three of them. In the meantime, right, I wouldn't be surprised, right, if we see startups, right, fragmented across the region, popping up and capitalizing on the opportunity, right, that technology is putting in front of everyone, right? Startups are quicker, they're more agile, and with the right funding in place, right, they can probably scale their businesses in a more efficient and more successful manner, right, than these industry behemoths can do.
You know, the interesting thing we saw with M-Pesa was when M-Pesa first came along, banks perceived it as a threat to their existing business. Now it's generating opportunities for banks to get access to the M-Pesa platform, you know, mm-hmm. for selling deposit products like M-Shwari and so forth, which we're going to have on the show in a couple of weeks. But in terms of, if you think about the traditional banking model and this, you know, credit card, debit card, term deposit, you know, these sort of product definitions don't mean a lot when you go to a mobile-enabled app, you know, that allows you to pay. You know, Uber's a great example of that. You know, but in the financial inclusion space, we could have this entirely new paradigm of banking created that's mobile-first, where, you know, we've done it well with all those old product definitions and things. It could be very, very interesting.
What's interesting though, Brett, is that, you know, the temptation to pick up the M-Pesa model and drop it into another country must be really tempting for a lot of countries. I know that it's been tried before and it doesn't work. So the really interesting thing here is you've got to create an innovation that around this space of mobile money that's contextual to your cultural relevance. But definitely, I think that these things will work. There's no doubt about it. And these things will break the industry pretty hard. And M-Pesa is a great example. I mean, it's been used for 10 years as a case study because it busted their market open. But no one's really been able to replicate that since. So there's something missing there about how we cross-border or jump into different cultural contexts with this notion of mobile money and how it works.
Yep, absolutely. No, I think M-Pesa was the poster child, but people have found it. Even Vodafone has found it difficult to replicate the model in other markets. So listen, we've only got a few minutes left, Rob. So I wanted to talk about how can the Breaking Banks community help Nexbank with your expansion in terms of, I think it's a great goal to have to enable this disruptive conversation and get people involved around the world. So how can we as a platform on Breaking Banks and how can the audience help you reach your goals?
A few ways, Brett. So the first way really is we're looking forward to people reaching out and to wanting to get involved in the community and to lead their own community of people in their city, in their country, where it makes sense. What we're looking for is people to run events and groups of people to talk about these interesting things. As the guy said before, coming together with these interesting people is what it's all about. Then we're looking for obviously organizations and companies who want to be a part of that. We certainly would love to see some organizations who want to contribute to this innovative conversation in our European event, at all of our events. And that could be in a variety of forms. It could be in a variety of ways. And also we're looking for those creative people, those entrepreneurs and startups to come forward and be brave and to put themselves out there in front of this sort of seemingly sort of ancient industry that is set in its ways, and to really challenge that, and we want to give them the platform, the freedom, the permission to express themselves. So we're looking for people to come forward, contact us through nextbank.org or through Twitter at nextbank.org and through our various event platforms. We'd love to hear from everyone who wants to get involved. We're not a huge, massive media organization that's trying to swallow the world. We're really trying to be as lean as we can and spread the benefits to everyone in the industry to make a positive difference.
Fantastic. And Furman, tell us about the event happening later this year in Barcelona.
Yes. Yes, we're putting together Nexbank Europe, which, as I said before, is on the 18th and the 19th of September, taking place in Barcelona.
So, and are you looking for speakers? Are you looking for workshop leaders? What are you looking for right now?
Yes, well, we are right now, we have the agenda. It's more or less closed, but we're looking for speakers still. So, we very, welcome speakers to approach us if they're interested in coming to the event, right, to speak. We are playing with kind of two formats, right, and variations of two formats. One is keynotes, another one is panels. So we do keynotes with a bit longer, and then we do panels, roundtables, in conversations with, right? So it's a very, dynamic event, 2 days. It's really a place, where corporates and entrepreneurs in financial services meet to rethink the industry ahead and to connect within and outside the traditional boundaries of the industry.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, guys, thanks for joining us on Breaking Banks today. It's certainly going to be exciting to watch Nexbank, and Rob, no doubt we will have you back on the show in another few months to sort of give us a progress update and tell us how things are going.
Love to. Thanks.
Thanks very much. You've been listening to another episode of Breaking Banks. We've been talking Nexbank and the future of the industry and how the groundswell of disruption is created. And it's been another good episode to explore the future. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week on Breaking Banks.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.